Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. Up to 170 for the episode. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. And Blake, it's been a barrage of NHL news this week, but the biggest news is it's Valentine's Day, and you're not on a date. What's going on, dude?
Nope. I don't have time for that shit.
Oh, that's probably smart. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
I don't have the time or money. I'll just say that.
That's probably another true statement.
Go out there and blow all this money. Kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch?
A scam. Having a girlfriend's a scam.
Okay. At some point, though, you probably want to settle down, though, too. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's different ways to look at that, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe if I lose another 50 pounds, maybe I'll be talking.
All right. Well, you're well on the way, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Waste Management on the PGA Tour this week?
I did not.
Holy shit.
I saw the hole-in-one. Oh, Matt Boldy just got a hat trick, first career hat trick. Nice.
Unreal.
I saw the hole-in-one. Everybody's throwing beer on the field, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, that's pretty wild.
30,000 fans around one hole. I mean, it's the only golf tournament like this, so, I mean, it's not like everyone's like that, but, you know, just, it was fun. And five guys in contention all the way through, and just good action all the way through, and a lot of fun. Just entertaining, and it's always fun to see, like, a playoff. And, you know, I was sitting there watching the playoff, and I'm like, holy shit, like, the Super Bowl starts in, like, 5 minutes, and this is going to a playoff, and I wanted to switch back and forth, but...
Super Bowl was pretty good, too.
It was. It was actually good.
Halftime show was legendary. Loved it.
See, I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, but it's like the nostalgia.
Was it sponsored by Weight Watchers?
I don't know why.
Well, 50 Cent looked like he weighed 250. And Mary J. Blige.
I don't know how they had him hanging upside down.
And Mary J. Blige looked like she ate somebody.
I know, tough.
Man.
But you know, I had the old $200 on the Bengals, and the Rams were driving, and I said, fuck this, I'm cashing out at my $200, and came away even.
I bet a bunch of things. Number one, I won my DraftKings pool on the golf, so I won some coin there. And then I bet on the under, and I won that. I bet on Blue Gatorade. I got that.
How much you put on that?
$20, so I got like $65 on that. I bet on the coin toss. I got that wrong. And I bet on the Rams to cover, and I just fell short there. So
cover 4.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was close, but
yeah,
the guys in Vegas know more than we do, right? I saw a real cool article on Sportsnet prior to the Super Bowl, and it compared NFL teams to NHL teams. Do you want to know who your Vancouver Canucks are compared to in the NFL?
A team that hasn't won.
I had to laugh. I'll name some of these off. They're comical. The Philadelphia Flyers, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Kind of close there. New Jersey Devils, Minnesota Vikings. That one fit true there.
Not really, though.
Yeah.
Devils won 3 cups in the early 2000s.
Okay, we're talking about right now, Blake. We're not talking about history. Right now. Okay. You know, Buffalo Sabres, New York Jets. That's pretty true.
Pretty bang on.
Vancouver Canucks were the New York Giants.
Here's what it said. Giants are like a young, up-and-coming team.
Here's what it said. Some good players added in the draft, some poor team building around it. Just overall underwhelming results on the field of play has led to the new front offices for both. The Giants and Canucks may have some trades to make in the near future.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Let me find a couple other ones that are interesting. Edmonton Oilers or the Arizona Coyotes, or Arizona Cardinals. And that's true. Everybody thought Arizona was going to be really good, and they just kind of like find a way to.
Well, Arizona finished 11-5.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, they didn't get as far as they wanted to, I guess.
They lost the first round.
Guess who the Los Angeles Rams were? When I saw this, I was like, oh, man, do I see that true?
Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah.
The Leafs?
Vegas Golden Knights. Said, team is never shy to make big additions and are always on the most notable players available.
Who are the Leafs?
Let's find that one. Calgary Flames or the Green Bay Packers? Toronto Maple Leafs or the Dallas Cowboys? Huge market.
Ah, that's true. That's a true statement.
It is.
Dallas hasn't won since 1990.
Here's another good one. Florida Panthers or the Cincinnati Bengals?
The who?
Florida Panthers or the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean.
It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I thought that was a pretty cool article. Are you watching any Olympics, Blake?
I watched Canada U.S. Women's.
I did too. We'll be watching that again here in a couple nights.
Won't be able to watch the gold medal game Wednesday.
That's Wednesday night now? Is it late Wednesday night?
Yeah, late Wednesday we play during the game, so I'll miss that one. So Canada's looking to get some revenge on the U.S. and see what happens. But no, I haven't really watched any Olympics.
Yeah, I have not.
I don't really care, to be honest.
I don't either this year, and I guess that's fine. But
I just like luck. They're doing a ski hill, and the background is just like a pipe or a. Like a gas plant. It's like, what is going on here? Like, what poverty? Like, what is happening?
Nuclear waste dump.
Like, fuck. It just like plotted in some fake snow and said, here, we're going to do the ski hill here.
It's China for you. That is China. You got to love it. Today on the show, we got a bunch to talk about. Boy, oh boy, we got a ton. Toffoli goes to Calgary. Some coaches switch spots and some firings and some hirings. Marchand loses his mind again. And we'll go around the league and talk about the Vegas cap hide, a wild Jets brawl, Rask retires, and Fleury's been talked about in some trade talk. All right, a trade to talk about in the National Hockey League. And today, this morning, I guess it was, late morning, my phone went batshit crazy with texts and tweets and everything. It was a major trade for the Calgary Flames and Montreal Canadiens as Calgary gets Tyler Toffoli from the Montreal Canadiens in exchange for a first-round draft pick, a fifth-round draft pick, Emil Hanneman, and Tyler Pitlick. Your thoughts, Blake?
Yeah, Calgary definitely needed some punch on that right side up front. And Tyler Toffoli checks all the boxes. Daryl Sutter coached him in L.A. He's on a team-friendly deal for another 2 years after this. A little bittersweet. He should still be a Vancouver Canuck, but he's back in the division, the Canuck killer himself. And we play Calgary 3 more times, so I'm not looking forward to that.
It's funny, you know, everybody says that he was the piece they needed on the right-hand side, and I couldn't agree more. He is.
Well, they tried to get him before Vancouver did, too.
Yes. It's not like they've been looking at Tyler Toffoli for not just month. We're talking years. Yeah. But it's funny because we're talking about a team that pounded Vegas this week 6-0, pounded the Leafs this week 5-1, and beat the Islanders 5-2. But you add this to the mix, and all of a sudden this team is starting to look more and more playoff ready. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't put too much stock into beating Vegas in one game. I mean, that's you beat them. You dominated them for one game, but like seven-game series is a whole different animal. Like
I didn't say we're winning the Stanley Cup because
Calgary's kind of going for it right now. Their top nine is pretty good. I don't mind their fourth line. Their top 4D is pretty good, and then you got Markstrom and Nett. So, like, you go up and down the boxes. Lots of boxes are checked. It's just what it's going to come down to is what Johnny Gaudreau are we going to get in the postseason. Like, that's what it's going to come down to. It seems like that's what happens every single year with Johnny and the Flames, because the bottom line is the Flames go where Johnny goes. When Johnny's going, the Flames are winning lots of games or scoring lots of goals. He's the driver of the offense, right?
Time out here.
If you're driving the bus and your engine blows, you ain't going very far.
Time out here.
And when Johnny's going, the engine's going, that team's firing all cylinders, right?
Blake, there's a whole lot more to this team than Johnny Gaudreau. When you have Lindholm, Tkachuk, Backlund, Mangiapane, Toffoli, there's a hell of a lot more team to this team.
Yeah. I get that. Who's the most important player of that offense, though? Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want? Like, what do you want? What do you want this? No, should I'm they have traded saying. Johnny Gaudreau for somebody? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, though, like, I could see this. It's a little bit of a security blanket. Like, I texted you this morning. If they lose Johnny Gaudreau, you got Tyler Toffoli. He's not as good, but still gives you some of that scoring. He's a consistent 25 to 30 goal guy his whole career when healthy. So, yeah, and he's a versatile guy. He can play left wing, right wing. He
plays 200-foot game.
What's that?
He plays a 200-foot game.
Yeah, he's really good defensively. I mean, yeah, it's a really good trade for Calgary. They didn't really have to give up much. They gave up a late first, a prospect, and Tyler Pitlick, who has been traded 3 times this season. Like, I'm not sure. This is a go for it move for Tree Living in Calgary, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, I just look at this team and they improve themselves drastically with this move. They didn't have to take anybody out of their lineup.
Just think of how good Calgary would be if Sean Monahan was actually producing.
Well, and maybe this is something that helps. You know, one of the things that
you can put Sean Monahan as a second line center where he should be playing, maybe even first line center, and then you can slot down Backlund to your Backlund's a third line center, believe it or not. He's a third line center.
Call it what you want, Blake, but I mean, Lindholm's not leaving the center spot. And Monahan is not even close to taking Lindholm's spot.
No, but I'm saying, and like, they drafted Monahan 6th overall.
I don't give a flying fuck where they drafted him. That's irrelevant. That was 10 years ago.
Yes, I understand that, but how many points does he have this year? He's not doing very good. But what I'm saying is...
No, but he's also not playing with point producers anymore either, Blake, and that's one of the things that's going to happen here.
He's a third-line center.
Yeah.
He's not a third...
Yeah, and that's all he's producing. Have you watched Sean Monahan this year?
Yeah,
I can't put him on the second line.
Listen.
You can't put him on the second line. He doesn't deserve to be.
Monahan and Backlund's roles at, like, the players that they are, Backlund's a third-line center. He's a checking third-line shutdown center, no?
They can score a lot of points. Have you looked at how many he put up this week and how many shots he put up this week?
No, I don't.
I mean, Blake, really, like, seriously, like, you're sitting here going, he's a third liner just because, I mean, you got to look at what roles and where they're playing. And, I mean, what's better than having centers that are responsible two ways?
I'm just saying, like,
that's their a good thing,
would be
right?
So much better if Monahan was producing at the level that he should be.
Every team has a guy. Vancouver, boy, Vancouver would be a lot better this year if Pettersson was producing, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Does not every team
on the third fucking line?
Does every team have that?
Yeah, you'd have to go down and look. But
yeah, sure. Every team has got a guy that's not producing what they should be. Now you put Toffoli next to, and I'm not saying that's where they'll put him, but you put him next to Monahan with Dubé on the left hand side, and maybe you got a little more spark.
I probably put Toffoli on the second line.
What's the second line, Blake?
With Backlund, isn't it Backlund and Mangiabane?
Okay, so what makes that the second line over the Monahan, Dubé, Coleman line?
You hate Dubé.
I didn't. That's not. That wasn't the question. I just said what. Who's labeling these lines? Like what? What is? I don't understand. They're playing 17 to 18 minutes a night equally. What are we? Why are we labeling them? Like, isn't the goal to have three solid offensive based lines and then a grind at fourth line? Is that not the goal of every? And you can I'm just label saying, them like, what I would, you want.
I'd rather play him with. I'd rather play him with Backlund and Mangiapane. I think he'd be a better fit there.
You know what? You know what lines? You know what lines? You know what teams have lines where you can look and go, that's a first line, that's a second line, that's a third. That's a usually shitty teams. Because the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, I couldn't tell them apart. They were all of them good.
Yeah.
Shitty teams are teams you can be like, that's definitely the first line. That's definitely the second line. It's usually not a good sign.
Yeah.
It's usually not a good sign. Speaking of bad signs, the Edmonton Oilers have hit full desperation now as they fire Dave Tippett and hire Woodcroft. Do you know anything about Woodcroft?
I do not. I know that he was the assistant coach down in Bakersfield, or head coach down in Bakersfield. So he's got... a lot of experience with some of the kids in the Oilers system and some of the guys that are up there now with, like, Benson and Yamamoto and I'm blanking. What's that guy's name? 71, McLeod, Bouchard. Like, he's coached a lot of these guys. So it's an easier transition for him to come in and coach some of these guys. It's a new look, obviously. Something needed to change. They're not getting the results, and they've drastically underperformed. So I'm not surprised that they made this move, but, I mean, it's a tough spot for Woodcroft to come in and right into the fire. So
I'll be honest. I did not know who this Woodcroft was. Did I think it was time to fire Dave Tippett? Probably. Do I blame it on Dave Tippett? Not at all. But it was probably time for a change, and that happens in coaching. But – to me, when I heard this, you know what I thought this was? Is, oh, shit, we need a coaching change, but we can't afford to go get a real coach. That's what this looks like to me.
So you think he's the coach for the end of the year, then they get another one?
I'm not saying that. Just saying they're not paying two salaries out. They owe Dave Tippett millions of dollars for quite a few more years, I believe two more years after this one. And I believe that was an
honor. No, it says last year's deal.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, he signed a three-year deal.
You might want to fact check that one, but anyways,
look, pretty sure.
Anyways, this is an owner going, we got 50% fans and now I got to change coaches and pay two guys when I have the best freaking two players in the league. I don't know. I just think it was a cheap road out.
Yeah. This is his last year of his deal.
Now this is 10 coaches in 14 years.
Yeah.
Four coaches in 7 years for McDavid, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is on his 12th coach in 11 years. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it's interim and stuff. So, yeah, they add up, but, yeah.
It's still a new face. And you wonder why you don't get any consistency. It's crazy to think that that's where this has come and you know, where... I don't know. It's crazy to think. And do you think this is a solution in Edmonton?
I don't know. I guess we'll see, right? I mean, like I said, I don't know much about him. So it'd be interesting. So, yeah, just to see here. So McTavish was a coach from 2000 to 2009. Pat Quinn for 1 year. Tom Rennie for 2 years. Kruger for one. Aikens for a year and a half. Nelson finished that season. They brought in Todd McClellan for 3 years. Ken Hitchcock took over halfway through the year. Then they went to Tippett. Now Woodcroft. Like, that's fucking a lot of guys.
That's a lot. And some really good coaches, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Some really, really good coaches. I had to laugh. It was probably the quote of the freaking year.
I forgot that Ken Hitchcock coached Oilers.
Yeah. How about this quote, though? Did you see what Ken Holland said?
No.
The Edmonton Oilers, it's been an up and down like a toilet seat. Like, yeah.
That's
a good way to put it. And it's been getting pissed on a lot lately, too, you know?
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens fire Dominic Ducharme and hire Martin St. Louis.
Yeah. Montreal kind of went outside the box with their GM hiring here, and they're kind of backed that up with Marty St. Louis. I mean, he was coaching a U14 team, I think, so he doesn't have much experience coaching, but he was a very smart hockey player. He's a very good hockey player when he did play. So it'd be interesting to see, like, what happens there. It was kind of funny to hear him say, like he doesn't believe in systems and it's all about reads, and like it was kind of a different philosophy that I haven't really heard from a coach before. So it was kind of took me by surprise. Somebody like new coaching would say something like that, but
it is different, isn't it?
Montreal's, I mean, he's playing with house money. I mean, they're the worst team in the league right now. So he's going to come in there and try to win more than 8 games this season. Like, I don't know. He said that he's coming in there to stay there for a long time. So yeah. I like the confidence. I like the confidence on him. He seems like he could be a good coach in this league, and we'll see what happens.
You know, I thought it was an interesting hiring. I agree with you. When he said about the systems, I was like, whoa, that's ballsy. But, I mean, if it works, it works for him. We'll see. His no experience kind of shook me a little bit. I always hate it in sports, and I know basketball is going through it too, where a lot of people are getting hired just off their name and like how they were as a player. When you look at a lot of the best coaches in hockey, at least, most of them haven't been players, or if they were players, were not standout players. And I'm not saying that a great player can't be a great coach too, because it can be. But this team is unraveled, and to bring in Martin St. Louis, I mean, who am I to say it's a right or wrong decision? I just think it's an odd decision. I had to chuckle a little bit that they gave him the interim tag. I'm thinking, well, shit, the way coaches get fired, aren't they all interims? I mean, it's
yeah. Like,
good golly. But
That's true. This
Montreal Canadiens team is, I mean, full-out skid. 10 games in a row they've lost. That's the first time that's happened since 1926. And every night they come out, it just looks like, there's just no confidence that a win's going to happen. And maybe Martin St. Louis will be able to change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like Montreal, like, you see that Caulfield's got a little bit of a jump under him. He's got, like, 3 goals in the 2 games that he's coached. So, yeah, Montreal needs to get their young guys going to build up some confidence for them for in the future going here. So, everyone's like, oh, like, this is like a huge collapse. Like, how can you go from the finals to this? It's like,
oh, we kind of saw this coming.
Look at no Carey Price. You got no Brendan Gallagher most of the year. You got no Deneau. You got no Shea Weber. Petrie's been awful. Edmondson hasn't played all year. Missing a lot of pieces from that team. And now you just trade to Foley. Like, a lot of players.
Where does this team go, Blake? You know, you look at this, and it starts at the back end, and really the future of Carey Price is up in uncertainty. You know, you look at the back end, and Petrie's all but gone. Shea Weber's.
Schrott's all but gone.
Pretty much history. I mean, when we're talking teardown, we're talking like to the bones.
They're going to have to go into a rebuild here. And you rebuild the team around Caulfield, Suzuki, and Alexander Romanov. That's what you do. And yeah. those are your three building pieces, then you go from there. They got 14 draft picks this year in the draft, so that's a step in the right direction. And that's what you gotta do. They're gonna get a first for Sherratt. They probably get a first for Petrie. So You just sell off as much pieces as you can at the deadline this year, and hopefully that your scouting staff can put together a good draft.
The real question on this one is I wonder who's going to take over the coaching job at mid Fairfield under 13 team.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The tough hole to fill.
I just, oh, man. Brad Marchand, let's talk a little bit about him. And was this on Monday night this happened, right after we got done recording, or was it Tuesday night?
Might have been Tuesday.
I think it was Tuesday. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't watching this game. I was flipping channels that night, and all of a sudden I see this, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Anyways, it started with him getting mad at Tristan Jarry for throwing a puck in, or trying to put a puck up into the stands for the Boston fans, which you'd think, who cares? I mean, that's... So Marchand goes over there and is a prickhead and knocks the puck off the stick. And then, with minutes to go in the game, Marchand just, out of the blue, after a whistle, punches Tristan Jarry in the head. And then, and Jarry did make it look a little bit worse than it was.
A little? Geez, he should get a Grammy for that acting job.
Yep. But irregardless, it was a punch to the head. But more so than that, when he skated around after the official tried to hold him back, he gave him a little stick in the neck. Neither being flagrant, I didn't think, but I was surprised on a couple things. I'm surprised that nobody went absolutely batshit crazy and beat the living piss out of Marchand. But I probably said that 10 times on this show. And, I mean, what did you think when the whole thing went down?
It's just Marchand being Marchand. That's what he does. His antics are crazy sometimes, and he does some shit he shouldn't do. But I don't think that was worth six games. I mean, that's just based off his reputation, and he's been suspended eight times, I think, now, the most in NHL history. It's the same thing. Like, Tom Wilson hits that guy in the Rangers, he gets 25 games because he just keeps doing that fucking blindside hit. Mm-hmm. And like, the NHL's like, hey, like, you got to figure it out. Like, stop doing this shit. So maybe Marchand will learn a lesson from this. But yeah, six games is a little harsh, I thought.
Do you really think he'll learn a lesson?
I don't know.
I know he won't.
Because if his next suspension might be 10.
Do you think he cares?
You're losing money. I don't know. You're costing your team.
I have the total here. In 13-year career, he's had eight career suspensions, and he has forfeited just a little bit over $1.4 million. He isn't gonna learn, Blake. That's a lot of money. Wouldn't you learn at like $200,000? I'd be like,
yeah.
You're not doing this anymore.
$500.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? No. I don't think this guy's getting it, you know? And do I think six games is appropriate? Yeah, that's probably a little bit steep. Probably a lot steep, to be honest with you.
But the league, like two games.
But the league kind of had to do it, didn't they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of, they were kind of hogtied. They needed to send a message, and, you know, it was a horrible
time. Okay, but, like, Aaron Dell on Batherson was way worse than that.
Could not agree more.
And he got two games.
Could not agree more. But so, if Aaron Dell does that
what
again,
are we doing? What are we doing here?
Or you're going off his history.
Like I said, it's purely based off reputation.
Shouldn't it be though? He's earned it. It's not like he's based off. It's a criminal history. It's no different than going to court. If it's your freaking 10th drug offense, you're going to get a hell of a lot more than your first one.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron Dell comes, if Aaron Dell gets to ever play again, if he ever comes out of his net and hits somebody like that again, he's probably going to get six games for the next one. Probably get his ass kicked, too. But, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. When I thought about it, I'm like, oh my God, do we seriously got to talk about Marchand again? But this guy keeps coming up in the news time and time again. All right, let's go around the league, talk about all the different happenings going on. Vegas, Mark Stone placed on long-term IR today, and Jack Eichel announced that he will be in the lineup Wednesday night in the Colorado Avalanche take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Your thought on this situation?
Shocker, they found a way to finagle the cap. Learning from their old pals, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, and obviously, like, obviously Vegas wants Mark Stone in the lineup, but...
I believe they do, but I also believe that this was a situation that's like, We got to do something here.
Yeah.
His back's hurt. I know his back's hurt. But is it hurt that bad? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to be on LTIR the rest of the season. Like, and this is where, like, it's like, okay, the NHL, like, what they should do is your roster has to be cap compliant before the playoffs.
I agree.
There's none of this. Oh, yeah, Mark Stone's day playoff starts, he's off, and there's no cap. It's just like you should have to have your team cap compliant before, like, the night before the playoffs. Like, MLB, you have to set your 25-man roster for this game or this series. It's like, okay, like, yeah, somebody gets hurt, you replace them on the roster, but it's like, I don't know. It's such a big loophole that it's kind of frustrating.
This is a glitch in the CBA that we thought was probably going to be a one-time thing when Tampa Bay did it with Kucherov. Now we're seeing it again, and you can call you what you want it. I think they're maneuvering it. I believe Mark Stone is injured. But I don't know that he's, you know, injured where he'd be out to the end of the year. Now, Vegas is not off the hook because I believe they got to free up. It's around $4 million for Martinez, right?
And yeah, $3 million maybe, something like that.
It's between 3 and 4, and I know that's coming up soon too. So they're not off the hook, and moves are going to have to be made. But this gets Jack Eichel into the lineup now. Mark Stone's your captain. I have a hard time believing they want their captain sitting out till the end of the end of the regular season. But if it means that you get those two in your roster together for the playoffs, I don't know how you don't have a discussion and say, here's what I think is going to work best for the team, too.
Oh, yeah, then you look at the rich get richer, right? It's just like you add Eichel to this lineup. You Stevenson slots down, Stone comes back, Pacioretty comes back, you still got Carlson, William Carrier, the guy, what's his name? Starts with a K.
I'm drawing a blank right at the moment.
I don't know. Anyway, he's like a right-hand, hard-hitting guy. They're deep. And like I said, the only worry with them is in net for me.
They're
good on the back end. They're good everywhere else. And we'll just see. It'll come down to what Laner can do for them.
So do you think this is an honest injury that's really the problem? Or do you think they're...
Well, I'm not a doctor. I mean...
I'm not either.
I think Mark Stone's a pretty tough player. I don't think he would just sit out to get Eichel into the lineup.
Do you know what? And I agree with you. But you know what? The only thing that makes me wonder on this one is... Vegas is so freaking cutthroat that this looks like such a move for Vegas, doesn't it? More than any other team. They're so cutthroat.
Yeah, I mean, they don't care about picks. They don't care about prospects. They
don't care about their own players. They'll sign a guy to 4 years and throw him away like trash the next week.
Oh, yeah, like trading Fleury and not even telling him, finding it on social media. It's just like, oh.
I know they're cutthroat, and so when I see these moves, it's like, I could see that happening. Did you watch the Minnesota Wild Winnipeg Jets old school hockey game last week? Fight night.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, not a big fan of the knee on the throat.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. As there's two fights ago, Marcus Foligno fights Adam Lowry, and Jordan Greenway fights Brandon Dillon, which was also a monster tilt. Then Marcus Foligno ends up having to fight Adam Lowry again. And as Foligno takes Lowry down, he knees him in the neck/head area. And I was like, right when I saw it, I'm like, oh, did that break the code?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just unnecessary. Like, sure, you want to fight and do all this, go ahead. But that's just taking it a little too far. Not really a fan of that. That stuff don't belong in the game.
As far as the intensity level of that game, though.
Yeah, if that was a playoff series, I'd watch every 7 games. It'd be amazing.
And you don't, as I watch it, I thought, okay, Winnipeg has struggled so bad this year. And they've just struggled finding a way and finding, like, direction in their game. And it surprises me because I look at their roster and it's like, this is good. But is this a spark for this team?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they're quite a ways out of a playoff.
No, I don't mean that they're going to get back to the playoffs. But is this a spark for, like, to get them going, to, like, fucking band together a little bit? You know how sometimes when a big brawl happens, like, you band together as a team. And you play a little harder for your guy next to you.
Yeah. I could see that for sure.
It just seems
you look at this team on paper, though, it's just like, how the fuck is this team this bad?
I know, and
It's like you got Shifley, Wheeler, Cobb, Connor, your back ends. You got one of the best goalies in the league. I don't know. Like, and they're probably going to lose Cobb in free agency. But I don't think they're going to be able to afford to keep him.
Well, they might be trading him a deadline if they don't get things figured out.
You think so?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it'd be hard to say. I'd take him in a second.
I love him too.
He's a good player.
Maybe he'd be a good replacement for Dylan Dubé, huh?
Yeah, good one.
What?
I'm not giving him for Dubé.
I didn't say a trade for Dubé. I said to replace Dubé in his position. And say they're trading.
Top six forward, though.
Okay, so if your top nine's good, does it fucking matter, Blake? Have we not figured this conversation out before?
Yeah.
Blake Coleman's a top six forward on the Vancouver Canucks. He's not a top six forward on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Is he a top six on the Canucks?
Yeah, he is with your team right now. Tuukka Rask announces his retirement after he comes back. And I thought things were going good. Were you a little surprised by this?
No, I was not. I was not surprised. He looked terrible in goal. He was super slow. He had one good game, one bad game, one good game, and a really terrible game. He allowed 10 goals in his two losses. So goals against is old 480 and save percentage is in the 800s. Yeah, he's got a good career. Probably one of the best goalies of our generation. He had a really good career. Toronto Maple Leafs legend, tough.
2011 Stanley Cup champion, 2013-14 Vezina Trophy, 2014 bronze medal, 2019 Williams Jennings Trophy, 2013-14 All-Star Game, 564 games played, 52 shutouts. Is he a Hall of Famer?
You took one of my questions.
Okay, I won't answer it. No, let's not talk about it then. We're going to go to your question. Well, that's fine. We won't go into that. Anyways, he retires. I was a little bit surprised. I really was. I mean, I understand he was not playing great, but boy, pull a plug that quick. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury reportedly denied a trade to the Washington Capitals this week.
Yep. Yeah, no. I mean, you heard Kevin Bieksa talk about it when Markstrom went to Calgary and said, like, I can't believe that he did that, right? Like, You play for a team and you hate this team so much. It's just like it almost kills you inside.
Vancouver Calgary wasn't as bad as Washington.
Back in the day, it was one of the best rivalries in the league.
I know, but neither team was good though.
No, but okay, but what I'm saying is I'm taking that and applying it to here. They played each other like 5 years in a row in the playoffs, and there's a lot of history there. It makes sense. He's like, yeah, I played for Pittsburgh for 12 years. I'm not going to play for those guys. You shit me. I fucking hate those guys.
Do you feel like, you know what my gut tells me? My gut tells me that he wants to go to Pittsburgh.
How are they affording that? You mean like next year?
No, I mean, I think he wants to go this year. Now, I'm not saying they can do that even. I'm just saying I think that's what he wants.
Why would he go play second fiddle to Jari?
How long would he be second fiddle?
Jari's like top five in Vezina right now.
I completely agree.
So why the fuck would they go after Fleury when they can use Blake, that cap space on something they actually need?
Time out. This is coming from the guy who says to me 50 times in the last 2 years as the playoffs start, I don't know, he doesn't have any playoff experience.
Well, yeah, he has been really good in the playoffs, but he's been good the last two seasons.
Yeah, but he was like in the regular season, in the playoffs last year.
But I'm not spending $7 million just to have Fleury potentially for the playoffs.
Do you think Fleury even gets dealt? Because I don't. I don't think he's going to get traded. Because I don't think he wants to get traded.
Well, the thing is, like, the teams that need goalies, like, how many of them can actually afford?
Well, Edmonton needs a goalie, but he ain't going to Edmonton.
That Edmonton is on the no trade list.
For sure. Like, but I'm saying, like, where would he go? Like, Colorado, maybe?
They got Kemper.
I know, but like, can you have enough good goalies?
They don't need him. They're getting Claude Giroux.
Probably.
Who needs a goalie? Who could use a goalie besides Washington? Maybe he goes to Dallas.
What's Dallas going to do with him?
They got Ottinger.
I like Ottinger.
I have no idea.
Like, they would have to be a true cup contender, wouldn't it?
And,
you know,
no true cup contender. If you're a cup contender, you're not looking for a goalie.
Well, I mean, you might be, but, like, because, I mean, I'm sure there's some people at Edmonton that think if we can just get to the playoffs and get some good goaltending.
Toronto fans say that every year, and they lose every year in the playoffs.
I know. Maybe Toronto's the spot.
Jack Campbell's been playing really good.
He has struggled the last few outings.
Last five games, but.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I don't know, and I'm not the guy that writes off people because of five bad games. I mean, my goodness. I know many people in Toronto want to write him off already, but I don't think that's right. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't think he gets dealt. I don't think he gets dealt.
Yeah, unless, like, Chicago retains half his salary, it'll be tough to move.
Yeah, very tough. All right, you ready for three questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for three questions.
Oh, our favorite part of the show. This week it's Blake's turn to fire three questions at me. Next week I'll be back to torment him with three questions.
Well, since you rudely took one of my questions.
I did not know that.
Is Tuukka Rask a Hall of Famer?
Is Tuukka Rask a Hall of Famer? No.
I'm just going to say no, because he's got a Stanley Cup on his resume, but he didn't even play.
Here's the deal, Blake. And I'm probably the worst person to answer this question in the world, because I think that we need I think it should be way harder to be a Hall of Famer in every sport.
So you think it should be like baseball?
No, baseball's a fucking joke, man.
10 years on the ballot, though?
Roger Clemens is not a Hall of Famer.
I know, but I'm saying, like, the concept, though. Like, the concept, like...
No, I don't think that.
You get put on the ballot, if you don't get 5% of votes on the ballot, you're off the ballot?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that system.
Like, I like the concept. Like, you got to get 75% votes within 10 years, a maximum of 10 years to get in. Like, I don't mind that. I don't mind the whole concept. I just hate how, like, political. A voter can just fucking turn in a blank ballot or just vote for one guy. It's just like you piss somebody off as a writer in one of these. Oh, there goes your Hall of Fame vote. You know what I mean?
Think it's right. I don't think the right people.
It's pretty messed up. Like, they should have different people voting, but like, I don't mind their setup at all.
I think that Hall of Fames should be more difficult to get into. I think we put way too many people in a Hall of Fame. I think we put way too many people in. I think it should be a Hall of Fame is the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
And I just think there's just too many. And that's just my opinion. Was Tuukka Rask a great goalie? Oh, look at how many years.
Like I say, he's probably one of the best of our generation.
Look at how many years Boston didn't have to worry about goaltending.
Yeah, Tim Thomas, they had Halak, they had Rask.
He's a good goalie. Not a Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Who have a bigger impact, Tyler Toffoli or Evander Kane?
It's a good question. It's a difficult question. I think, honestly, if Edmonton can get better goaltending and can get... I don't know, to get things to go in sync. I look at their lineup, and it's better than it was last year. It's deeper than it was last year, but they're just really out of sync right now. If they could get good goaltending and some strong defense, I think Evander Kane would be a better, bigger impact because I like
what he's the best player in the world.
What? Oh, he's playing with the best player. Okay. I thought you said he's the best player in the world. I'm like, holy shit.
He's playing with the best player in the
world. Blake is not on a weight loss. He's drunk. I'm just looking at it in the pure impact of like he's a complete tool of a human being, but like I do think that like on the ice he could really bring something to that Oilers team, and that's not taking anything away from Toffoli, but I think Toffoli's a piece of the puzzle. Now is that a guarantee that Calgary's going to go to the conference final? Hell no. Like how often does a piece of the puzzle work out? It does once in a while. But it's few and far between. But I look at Calgary's roster and I'm like, okay, they're better today than they were yesterday. Does that mean we're a cup contender? I don't know. Time will tell. But we've made another step in the right direction to becoming that. Now, when Edmonton got Evander Kane, they made another step in that direction. Hopefully the backside doesn't drag them backwards. There's more upside. Okay, there's maybe more upside, but a hell of a lot better chance of downside with Evander Kane.
Yeah.
There's probably less upside with Tyler Toffoli, but the risk reward is way better with Toffoli. Way better.
Okay, with Toffoli traded, who is the next big fish you think to get moved next?
I think we're gonna see a lull now. I know everybody's like,
Did it surprise you that Toffoli was traded so like right now? Did that kind of come out of left field? It did for me because I didn't hear anything.
I saw rumblings on Saturday on it from like Elliot Friedman type sources. And when I see that, then I think, something's
like
brewing.
Calgary?
Yeah. And on Sunday, I saw some tweets where there was Toffoli jerseys, obviously from fans and stuff, but I'm thinking, okay. Did I think it was going to happen today? No, it freaking totally caught me off guard. But did I think it was going to happen? Yeah, because I saw sources that were credible sources reporting on it. Did I think it was going to happen? For sure, no. There's no way of telling that. But was I shocked that it was Toffoli? No. Was I shocked at the timing of it? Yes. I thought Calgary would wait a little bit further out to accrue more cap space. But then I also listened to Treliving speak today, and he's like, you know, you can do that, and that's fine and dandy, but then all of a sudden you lose your guy, and then it's not good. And he made a point that he goes, I read my team, and my team tells me whether I need to do my job and go get them a piece based off how they're playing.
So what does Calgary need to add here? What do you think they need?
All they need to do, if I wouldn't do a hell of a lot more. I'd add a depth defenseman.
Another depth guy and another depth defenseman?
I'd add a 7-8 defenseman, a depth defenseman, not somebody that's in their top six, but a depth defenseman, and I'd add a Cale Yarncroc.
From Seattle.
That's who I would add. And then I love this team. I love it a lot then.
Yeah, Yarncroc would be pretty good on the fourth line.
Mm-hmm. You add that guy, and this team is.
So do you think they're cup contender now?
No, I didn't say that. Can you really say that after one move and after?
So if they go and get a depth defenseman, Cale Yarncroc, like, what are your thoughts?
If they keep playing like they're playing, they are definitely a cup contender. This team's 6 in a row against good hockey teams.
Yeah, also helps if Markstrom's playing and fucking out of his marbles.
Isn't that part of being a good team, though?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You got a listener question?
Again, question number 3, dude. We only did two. We did Tuukka Rask, we did Toffoli.
And then the Toffoli Kane impact.
Oh, okay.
That was 3, buddy. We're out of count.
Jesus. You blend your questions together. I need them more crystal clear. I need you to say question number 1.
And oh, my God. Question number I gave you, like, actually 5 questions.
All right. Listener question from Matt Harris, Vancouver, British Columbia. When I saw this question, I chuckled. I laughed. I actually thought it was hilarious because I started thinking, I had a hell of a time with it. I had a hell of a time with this one. Name a player you'd never cheer for, even if he was on your favorite team.
Dave Boland.
What was Dave Boland?
Dave Boland. He used to play for Chicago.
Okay, what about him?
He's just like a cocksucker, and I just hated the guy.
Okay.
Another guy.
Well, let me name one here. I would have a hard time cheering for Evander Kane.
No, you wouldn't. If he's on Calgary, you would not.
I would. I don't think he's a good
human. Like, yes, Evander, another goal tonight. Let's go.
No. I'm gonna name a couple more that you're gonna be surprised on. Mike Smith is on my list.
Oh my God. You loved him when he was on Calgary.
No, I did not. How many nights? Go look at my old tweets. A guy freaking came out of his net so much he drove me insane. I fucking wanted to strangle him.
When you guys lost in 5 to Colorado, you're like, Mike Smith was the best player on the team.
He was
best player in the playoffs.
He was the only guy that was any good besides Sam Bennett that playoffs.
You're such a hypocrite. No. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to do some digging on Twitter.
Yeah, you go look. My next one that I have a hard time cheering for is Elias Pettersson.
Oh, my. Okay, just we're getting ready to sign off the pod.
Just because he's super soft.
Shut up.
Did you hear what your coach said to about him?
You would hate Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau.
I don't hate Johnny Gaudreau, but go.
He's soft. He doesn't go in the cars in the playoffs.
We'll see. He's soft. I might hate his guts after the playoffs this year. I hated his guts after the playoffs last year.
You called me drunk.
The benefit is, if he sucks in the playoffs this year, he's just history. I don't have to watch him anymore.
Stop being ignorant.
I don't have to watch anymore. You know who's one other guy? And this is a realistic answer here. It's a realistic answer. I had a really tough time cheering for Todd Bertuzzi when he got traded to Calgary. I did. Mm. I did. And you know what? Not so much because of what he did, but I went to a Vancouver Canucks game in Vancouver, and I had front row seats behind the bench. And Todd Bertuzzi was on the team. And the way he talked and treated other players, including the Sedins on the team, made me really hate that guy. He was a dickhead. Yeah. He was a dickhead.
Good hockey player.
He was. He was really good.
He was a player.
He was really a good hockey player.
Not many built like old Bert, that's for
no,
sure.
No, there wasn't. And you know what? I think he got mixed up in a real unfortunate situation. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
Anything else you got to get off your chest?
Oh, hey, you wanna take a flashback back to 2020 quarantine?
Sure.
Love is Blind season 2, baby.
Jesus, Watch
the first 5 episodes last night, and baby.
You watched 5 episodes?
February 21st can't come closer.
What do you mean? There's more episodes then?
Yeah.
You watched 5 episodes last night.
Yeah.
That is why you're yawning and a bump on a log this episode? Is that the reason?
I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, no shit, because you were up watching TV all night.
Hey, but that show is like, I was like, I'm getting vivid flashbacks to fucking isolation in 2020. God.
Remember how that's the only thing that kept us alive during
I think that bitch, that blonde girl.
Yeah.
That might have been the, like, that came out in February, right before COVID. She might have started it. I don't know.
I can't believe I watched that show. I was embarrassed. I went and told the guys.
You gotta watch it, though. It's like, it's pretty wild.
I went and told the guys at work I was watching Love is Blind, and they all started laughing at me. They're like, what the hell's wrong with you? I had my.
Well, you watch that. What do you watch that MTV show?
I know. I was dumb, too, what man. Is it called? You watch dumb shit during COVID, right? Because there's nothing else to do.
I'm so bored. You know what I'll give this a try. It's good.
You know what I'm watching right now? Have you ever seen that show, Big Break? It's a golf show where it's like Survivor, but you're golf, and it's a man and woman teams. But it's like Survivor, and you get voted off, and it's golf-based challenges, and the women are always really hot.
What's it on?
It's on the Golf Channel. I like it. Hmm. It's called Big Break. I watched a few episodes this week. It's good.
But you know what? Do you have to like smash glasses and stuff?
Oh, that was one thing. But most of the time it's just playing rounds of golf or playing holes, challenges. And
yeah, and it's like chipping it in out of the bunker and shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before.
I don't know. It's kind of an interesting show. It's good.
Yeah, Watch Love is Blind, though. It's pretty good.
You like it that much, huh?
It's pretty good, I must say.
God, I asked him a real simple question.
It's like a combination of The Circle and The Bachelor, just like if they had a baby, that's what it'd be.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, is Blake's been struggling all night. We get on the show tonight, he's yawning, he looks like a bump on a log, and he's like,
What do you mean?
I haven't been sleeping real well, you know, I just haven't been sleeping real well. Well, now that we know why, because he's up watching Love is Blind. That's fucking embarrassing.
Okay.
God, that's embarrassing.
Couldn't stop watching it. I couldn't sleep, so I was like, hey, whatever.
Jeez, might as well watch that. Oh, well, another week is in the books, and we had a big trade to talk about. That changed my whole plan for what we were talking about on the show today. We're back again next Monday night for another hour of hockey talk. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Check us out on debatehockey.com. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back for another hour next week, and maybe there'll be another big trade. Maybe Vancouver will be sending somebody somewhere, but even though I think that's stupid, but
I'll be a clickbait.
Have a good week, hockey fans. We'll see you next week. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.